Love is Triumphant. Chapter 1, 1868. Rosina Clarendon was lying on her bed, reading a book, when there was a knock on her door. "The headmistress would like to see you, miss," said the maid, who carried messages throughout the school. Rosina checked herself in the mirror to make sure she wasn't untidy, but found her appearance neat enough to please even the eagle-eyed Miss Baxter. She could not think why the head had sent for her, but she had no fear of being in trouble. As the daughter of Sir Elroy Clarendon, the local member of Parliament, she was a privileged person. She was given special treatment in many ways, including a bedroom to herself, some distance away from the dormitories where the other girls slept. She tried never to take advantage of this favouritism, but she was not surprised when she entered Miss Baxter's study and was greeted by a smile. "There you are, Rosina. I only sent for you because you have a visitor. Sir John Crosby has come to call on you, on behalf of your distinguished father." The name of Sir John took her by surprise, and for a moment it was hard to control the impulse to smile with pleasure. He was a handsome young man, and she had enjoyed many sweet dreams about him, dreams that he knew nothing about. "Sir John Crosby," she said innocently. "I wonder why he is here." "He will tell you himself," Miss Baxter said, rising from behind her desk. "He's standing just behind you." Rosina whirled and saw Sir John's laughing face. "Why, I didn't see you," she stammered. She had a horrid suspicion that she was blushing, as though all her thoughts about him might be written on her face. But she managed to greet him with an appearance of composure. "Has something happened to Papa or Mama?" she asked anxiously. "Is it bad news?"
"Not at all. All is well with your family. But I happened to be passing through on my way to my constituency, and volunteered to bring you some letters from your parents."
"How kind of you," she exclaimed. He turned to the headmistress, giving her his most charming smile.
"Miss Baxter, I'm sure it's against the rules, but may I speak alone with Miss Clarendon?"
"Well," Miss Baxter hesitated, conscious that Rosina was no longer a child, and would soon be a debutante very soon.
"Perhaps we could take a walk in the gardens," Sir John persisted, "if we promise not to move out of sight from the house."
"In that case, yes. I'm sure you understand, Sir John, that we have to be very careful with such an attractive young lady about to merge into society."
"Of course I do. And you may trust me to protect her reputation."
How could any woman resist his smile, Rosina wondered, or the warmth of his demeanour, or the vibrancy in his voice, or his way of looking and sounding as though life was a fruit to be devoured, and he was going to enjoy all of it. Apparently, the headmistress could not resist it either.
"Then you may go into the garden," she said, "but not for too long."
Demurely, Rosina walked beside Sir John into the sunny garden, trying not to look too pleased at being with him.
"Don't be silly," she admonished herself severely. "To him you're just a schoolgirl."
In a short time she would be 18, and ready for her coming-out ball. Then she would wear pink and white satin, with rosebuds in her hair and her mother's pearls about her neck. How grown up she would look! In her happy dream she was a glorious vision, with her fair hair and deep blue eyes, her tall, slim figure, and glowing, peachy complexion. And Sir John, who would naturally be at the ball, would be struck dumb with love at the sight of her. She pictured him gazing, enraptured, as she made her grand entrance, wondering why he had never noticed this staggering beauty before. But that was for the future, she thought wistfully. For the moment, she was trapped in a school uniform of blue serge that reduced her figure to a flat board. Instead of being swept up in a glass...